Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson, and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 96, titled Where to Put Cash and Top Regrets. I think one thing we definitely all probably think about is we do not want to get to the end of our lives and have a bunch of regrets. And a lot of people sadly kind of live in a way that's very safe, very protected, no risk, and because of fear, because of an unwillingness to change or an unwillingness to step outside of their comfort zone. And at the end of their lives, they end up with a lot of regret. So today I've been doing some research and I've discovered some of the top reasons after researching quite a few different articles, the top financial regrets among Americans, as well as the top regrets of people at the end of their lives who are kind of facing death and are reflecting back on their lives of what they wish they would have done. Also, we're going to cover a lot of things in this episode, so bear with me, but there's been some financial topics on my mind as well about where we should store our cash. I get that question a lot. So I'm going to go over four different options of where we can store cash. And I also want to talk a little bit about philosophy that I hear from people sometimes about basically the YOLO philosophy. You only live once and we should live now because the economy could crash. The world could end, and we should live our lives in the present and not worry about the future. So I have a lot of things on my mind. This podcast won't be too long, though. I try to keep them around 10 to 15 minutes to be very digestible. So before I dive into this, just want to thank you all for taking the time to listen. It means a lot to me and for supporting the show. And if you could leave a nice review on Apple iTunes, that would be super appreciated, or leave a rating, or both. That would be great. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about the top financial regrets among American adults. So the first one is a lot of older people in kind of their 60s, 70s, 80s. I'm not too far off from that, by the way. One of their regrets is not starting to save for retirement earlier. And so a lot of times there's 47% of Americans who are in retirement and have saved nothing for retirement. So they're completely dependent on either working or a combination of working and their financial security or help from others. So it's crazy to think that half of Americans don't have anything saved for retirement at all. They've kind of either not felt like they could afford to put money away for retirement, or just not been educated on how to do it, or not thought about it, or just had the philosophy, I'm going to live now and worry about that later. But that's a big regret among some of our older, more experienced people, with kind of looking a little bit of life in the rearview mirror a little bit and realizing, why didn't I start saving for retirement when I was younger? As those who are loyal podcast listeners know, I advocate for starting young, even if it's just a little bit, get that account opened up, just get $50 in there and get started. That's the main hurdle to get going on your investing journey. Get it in there, get it in a Roth IRA, get it in a total market index fund, and just get the habit of saving a little bit every month. If you are a little wealthier and have that money to drop in to max out your Roth IRA at the beginning of the year, even better, because then it can be in that IRA working throughout the year instead of dollar cost averaging every month. The second regret that Americans have, financial regret, is relying too much on credit cards. So a lot of Americans are in a lot of financial debt. Research tends to vary on really what the average amount of credit card debt is. I've read anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 of credit card debt per person. As we know, credit cards are often 18% interest and higher. So it can be really hard to climb out of credit card debt, especially when you have thousands of dollars of it, because the interest is so high. So they can really bury you. I have advocated for healthy use of credit cards on this podcast, but if you are a person who pays interest on credit cards or who has some credit cards that aren't paid off, I would strongly, strongly beg you to get those paid off, cut them up, and not use credit cards again. Use debit cards and cash. Even though it's a little more inconvenient, it's not worth it if you're not able to do it responsibly. And it's okay. There's a lot of people who can't. There's no shame in that. You just need, part of a healthy financial journey is to know yourself, know what really works for you. The third regret on the financial side of things is not maintaining an emergency fund. Many, many Americans cannot afford a $400 emergency fund. And I think So people tend to rack up credit card debt because they don't have that cash cushion sitting there in case they need new tires or in case the air conditioner goes out or in case the dishwasher goes kaput or whatever medical bill might come up. So maintaining a 3 to 6 month emergency fund, if that seems overly ambitious, try to just build up $1,000. Once you get there, try to build up $2,000 and just get it there. If you're not able to do the textbook 3 to 6 months, that's fine. Just get a few thousand dollars in there if possible to help you during a rainy day. The next one that Americans list as their top regrets are not paying off their credit card balance each month. There's so many Americans who have a running credit card bill or debt and do not pay them off. And when they look back on their life, they realize how many thousands of dollars they spent on ridiculous credit card interest instead of investing that money. If you always are in credit card debt, that money that you're paying off each month could be going into an investing account. You could be earning interest at, let's say, 8 to 12% instead of paying interest at 18%. The fifth regret is spending beyond their means. So kind of the foundational concept, I would say, if I could say anything, if I could only say one thing about financial wisdom and advice or suggestions, it would be don't spend beyond your means. Live within your means. Live below your means. As we live beyond our means, it means we're probably racking up debt. We're probably driving cars we shouldn't be driving, living in a house that's too big for our budget, going on vacations that we probably can't afford. And so figuring out how to live within your means, and a big part of that is just learning how to watch your ego and keep your kind of ego in check and do things for you. Don't try to do them to keep up with the Joneses or to try to be someone else. The next one, number six, is that they didn't track their spending or create a budget. So I've talked about these two subjects before. I've recommended Personal Capital. They are not an affiliate link. I don't get paid by them. They are now called Empower. So it's an amazing app where you can have one dashboard that tracks your spending. You can link your credit cards to it. You can link your bank accounts, your investment accounts, and they can put it all in front of you so you know exactly what your net worth is. And so that's one great way to track your spending. You can put it into categories so you know exactly how much you spend on eating out during the year, during the month, whatever time period you put into the app. So it's amazing. And just creating a budget that works for you, that doesn't put a lot of stress on you, but leaves you a little margin, is amazing. The next financial regret is impulse purchases. A lot of people have buyer's remorse after they buy an expensive item like a car or possibly a house or a vacation. So I recommend if you're going to spend more than a couple $100, please take 24 hours to take a breath, talk to your spouse about it, talk to a friend about it, chill a little bit, take a minute to see if you really need it, put that thing in the wait list on Amazon instead of buying it, and just kind of think about it. I've avoided a lot of impulse purchases by using that tool. The eighth one is paying bills late. So most companies charge late fees if you don't pay bills on time. So setting up automation in your life and getting bills paid on time and staying organized, staying on top of them is super important. The next one is unsuccessful financial investments. I don't really want to go into that, but it's very important to not let someone in your church or somebody at work or some friend of a friend talk you into some cockamamie variable annuity or something like that is going to tie up your money, pay a great big commission to the salesperson, and get you in a position you don't want to be in. The 10th regret is to withdraw early from retirement savings. So with 401ks, Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs, you cannot get to that money until age 59 and a half. So sometimes people will withdraw that money before that age and pay a 10% penalty as well as the taxes on the money. So that is not a recipe for success. And some people also take 401k loans out, which are not awesome either. The next one is they loan money to the wrong person. So I would recommend you be very cautious about lending money to people. It can be appropriate to do, but it does change the relationship when you do that. The last one is buying a car. Top regret, buying a car that's beyond their means, that's too expensive, that breaks their budget. Vehicles are super expensive these days. I mean, it's not that uncommon to see a new car north of $40,000. Trucks and SUVs are even higher than that. They're $40,000 to $80,000. So there are really solid, good cars under $10,000. As I've said many times on this podcast, all of our cars are worth not very much, but they all run well. And so you can get a good Honda, a good Toyota, a good Acura that's 10 to 15 years old that runs really well. So you don't need to have a brand new car to be happy. So let's shift over a little bit quickly to the top regrets of people who are dying. So the first one they mentioned is working too much. So there's not many people on their deathbed who look back and wish they would have worked more. So I know that a lot of people have to work a lot to make ends meet, but I also know there's a large chunk of people who willingly work a lot of hours when they don't need to. They're overcompensating for childhood issues. They're making more money than they need to. They're trying to please their boss. There's a lot of reasons why people work too much. Life is too short, in my opinion, to work too much. If you can dial it back, if you're making plenty of money and you still continue to work too much instead of spend time with your family or develop hobbies or volunteer or whatever, float your boat, take a look at that. The second regret of people who are dying is not spending enough time with loved ones. So as we raise children, we only get this finite period of 18 years before they are off on their own. And by the time they turn 18, we've basically spent 95% of the time that we're gonna spend with them. So those 18 years, we do not get back. And if we spend all of those years working and missing vacations, missing games, missing dance recitals, missing soccer games, we probably will live with some regret. It's a choice that if you're a young parent listening to this, I recommend you find balance. You take time off work to go see your kids do things. They only get to play so many games and sing in so many concerts. Be there for them. Be there to enjoy that experience with them. The next one of the top regrets of the dying is they wish they would have been happier and enjoyed life more. So in other words, they see happiness as somewhat of a choice. They wish they would have just been able to chill out, relax, and enjoy life instead of being so uptight about everything. Number four on the list of people's regrets that are dying is they wish they had lived their dream. A lot of people kind of get into a safe, comfortable place, whether it be in their employment, their travel, their relationships, where they just stay stuck. They don't move out of them because they're afraid of failure or they're fearful or have anxiety and they didn't live their dreams. So people, we have only a limited time on this beautiful world we have. It is time to live out your dream, whatever that may be. So the next one is they wish they'd taken better care of themselves, because a lot of time people die because of natural causes, obviously, and even healthy people die young, but sometimes people die because they didn't take good care of themselves. They did not eat well. They did not prioritize exercise. They did not prioritize movement, getting enough rest, not consuming, eating, drinking garbage into your system. So please, everybody, take good care of yourself. Do an internal audit of how you're really doing on taking care of the one brain and body that you have. The next regret is they wish they had done more for others. I can't think of really any time where I've served someone else or done something for someone else where I've afterwards regretted it and said, man, I wish I would have been doing something else. There's been a lot of times where I've had to push myself to go do that when I didn't want to. But hey, that's, I mean, something like that happened just the other day where a neighbor of ours was shoveling snow off her house, and she had no business being up there on her house, but she was up there. And luckily, someone called me and told me what she was up to. And so my youngest son, Gavin, and I were able to run over there and give her a hand. But, you know, when you're getting ready to go help someone, it's easy to think, oh, I could be doing something else. I don't want to be bothered with this. But every single time after, we just are able to push past that and do what our first instinct tells us to do, we will feel good about it. So it's awesome to be able to do things for others. And sometimes we don't get those opportunities back. And there's so many opportunities within your marriage, within your relationship with your kids, to be able to serve them and do things with them and for them, as well as your neighbors, your coworkers, and your family. The next regret is they wish they had been a better parent or spouse. So there, in my opinion, there's not a more important priority in this world than being a great spouse and a great parent. Our children need us. They depend on us. So much of how we teach them, live with them, interact with them, the example we set for them will set the kind of trajectory for their life. It's such a wonderful opportunity to be a parent and a role model to kids. And, you know, it's pretty common that the statistics say that 40 to 60% of marriages fail. And so putting a lot of energy into your marriage and learning to say, I'm sorry, learning how to take accountability, learning how to breathe before you talk, learning how to have a good sex life and important intimacy in your life, learning to talk to each other, communicate with each other, do fun things together. It's just so important. There's only two more of these. The second to the last one is they wish they had taken more risks. So again, kind of like the one earlier, is we get in a safe zone where we don't want to step out of it. And I've been guilty of this for sure throughout my life. That's why I'm so happy to be married to who I am. I probably wouldn't have taken a lot of the trips we've gone without her. And it was awesome for me to be able to take the risk of leaving my safe job of 20 years and step out and be an entrepreneur and do my own thing. It's been super fulfilling and less stressful and has helped me to be happier for sure. And the last one is they wish they had chosen more meaningful work. So if you think about it, we spend typically 40 hours a week doing a job. And if you times 40 times 5, 200 hours a week, times that, times a year, we spend a lot of time at work, doing work. So finding something that really turns you on, makes you excited for the day, gives you a purpose to serve others. And like I said in other podcasts, it doesn't really matter on the profession, whether you're stocking shelves or you're a lawyer or you are a financial advisor or a teacher, or you pick up garbage, they all serve a huge and important critical role in our society, and none of them are more important than others. So I've talked a little bit about a concept I call memory dividends, and it's, I think sometimes we put money into objects instead of experiences, and I just want to remind everybody, like, when we have an awesome experience or an amazing vacation, or we see a place that we've dreamed of seeing, we get memory dividends from that throughout our life. We pay for the trip and we have the wonderful time being there, but we get to reflect on the pictures. We get to have talk about it. We get to have memories of it, dreams about it. So experiences pay dividends. Oftentimes a car or a TV or a new phone do not. So I want to talk a little bit about where to put cash. So cash, for a long time, people said cash was trash. It was not paying anything. It was paying 0%. In Wells Fargo, Chase, Goldman Sachs, some of the big banks that have brick and mortar locations and whatnot, like Bank of America is an example. I have Bank of Wells Fargo, which if it weren't so inconvenient to switch, I probably would, because they have not been very good with their customers. But so Wells Fargo on my savings account, they pay 0.01% interest. one hundredth of 1%, something like that. It's bad. It's really bad. But the good news is right now, if you are do a little research, you can get 3 to 5% on your cash right now. So for example, Fidelity, where I house my investments, their money market account is paying a daily yield. So right now, it means it could change, is like 4.25%. So if you have cash in your money market, which is a pretty safe account, it's not quite as safe as a CD or a savings account, but it's very safe, you can be making over 4%. In my high yield savings account with Ally Bank, which I've used for years and I really like, it's paying, I believe, 3.6 or 3.8% right now. You can get short-term CDs of 6 months, 12 months, 2 years. They're called brokerage CDs. I think that's what they're called. Anyway, you can get these CDs at Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard for over 4%. 4 to 5% is what those things are paying. And bonds are starting to do better too, yielding close to 4%. So if you have cash and you have a large cash position, like I'll just call him Cirque, a friend of mine, he has kept his high cash amount in a bank where he's making no interest. So he's losing purchasing power on that money. So I have recommended to him that he move his money over to Ally or a bank like that. I think Capital One has a good savings account that they pay a lot high interest rate on. So instead of making 0.01% on your cash, why not be making 3.5 to 4% on your cash? It makes a difference. So, and the online savings accounts that don't have brick and mortar locations like Ally, they are safe, they are FDIC insured, they have beautiful apps that are easy to get to. They have, if you have a checking account with them, they'll give you an ATM card and reimburse ATM fees so you can just use it. There's really no reason not to have this. It's checks a lot of the boxes, and it's something that with anybody with over like $3,000 in cash, I would say please use one of these options to store your cash. And lastly, I said I want to talk a little bit the live for now philosophy, because people think the world might come to an end or the economy is going to crash. So I think people have been having this concern for a very long time. You think about as in America since the Revolutionary War, all the things that as a country we've gone through, including world wars, pandemics, financial crises, terrorist attacks, all these things. I think this has been a fear of the human psyche from day one about how do I dare invest my money in the stock market when there's so much craziness going on? And so I don't think these times are all that much different than they've been in the past. So I would recommend you, like I said in other episodes, try to find a balance of saving 10 to 20% for the future in awesome vehicles like IRAs or 401ks or brokerage accounts, and saving a nice 3 to 6 month emergency fund, and also enjoying your money today. If you save it all and have no fun, then it's really, what's the purpose of money? It's just a tool. So dedicating some of it to give you experiences, going to movies, going out to eat, going on vacations, doing fun things together, going to sporting events, concerts, those are within reason. They add a lot of zest to life and a lot of joy to life. So I hope all of you can find that right balance of living now versus saving for tomorrow. Thanks again so much for listening, everybody. Remember, the simple life is a good life.